Reading from the Narada Bhakti Sutras, verse 66. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Rupa Bhanga Purvakam Nitya Dasya Nitya Kanta Vajanatmakam Premakaryam Premaivakaryam. After breaking through the aforementioned coverings of the three modes of nature, one should act only in pure love of God, remaining perpetually in the mood of serving, of a servant serving his master, or a lover serving her beloved. As described in Sutra 56, there are three secondary forms of devotional service tinged with the gunas: goodness, passion, and ignorance. These are practiced by Sakama devotees who approach the Supreme Lord when in distress, when seeking wealth, and when seeking knowledge. What should transcend these secondary types of devotion and approach the Supreme Lord only with love? In other words, here Narada is urging us to come to the spontaneous stage, as in the rasas, of servitude, nityadas, and conjugal love, nityakanta bhajan. We should not think that we have completed the course of bhakti by becoming a religionist in the conventional sense, by attending the temple and making obligatory prayers and donations. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Kapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Turubhyascha. Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from New York. I'm staying by the grace of a god brother, Prabhu Kripa, has a very nice apartment not far from the Bhakti Center. So I'm able to spend this week in New York City meeting the many, many people who are been graced with the Bhakti Lata Bij, the seed of devotional service. The seed of devotional service is that experience in the heart of a taste for serving something greater than yourself, serving God. I was out today when I come into the city with the kirtan with Ram Roy. And very admirable what he's done. I mean, initially we'd go out by himself, whoever would come, he wouldn't know who would come. Sometimes the kirtans were austere, sometimes they were better. It's really wonderful today with Ekalavya and Govinda. And there was a whole bunch of young people from the Pandavasena, and to sit there and really just stop New York in its tracks. So many people surrounding of all different types. And particularly watching those people with Sukriti who are getting the Bhakti Lata Beach. What is that definition of bhakti Satyaraj gave me? When through the melted mind, impressions of Govinda, of attraction to God are made, that awakening of the soul. I sit there chanting and I just see people who sit there, stand and watch. You can watch their face. You can watch their mind. There's some kind of experience going on, some type of attraction that's there. It's not an ordinary experience, and you can see that. And really, a lot of very nice mothers with children in strollers. I don't know why they always stop and they enjoy showing their children the experience, and sometimes the children dance. And so the Bhakti Lata Beach. And yesterday I gave class in the Bhakti Center, and I was felt very wonderful because they're creating an atmosphere that suits the ideals of many people who couldn't really find a congregation in New York that suited them. There are different types of people, require different types of communities. And it was just so nice to see so many people come back and congregate there. And I spoke again on humility. And one point I made that I think is very important is that to have the proper conception, you need the proper definition of things. I gave the example of bhakti. A definition can't be too exclusive. It can't include things that shouldn't be defined. And it can't be too inclusive. It shouldn't exclude things that should be defined. And humility shouldn't include self-esteem. And it shouldn't exclude boldness or self-confidence. So I really had that sense that what humility is, it's the soul awakening to itself. The soul getting a realistic conception and a realistic feeling of itself. The really realistic conception of, I am not the whole, I am the part. And the whole is very infinite and the part is very infinitesimal. That I am dependent on the whole for my nourishment and for my inspiration. And the feeling, I like it because it's love. There is a higher will or authority. I am part of that higher will or authority. I surrender to that higher will and authority. And by surrendering to that higher will and authority, I am surrendering to the service of everything. And that impression in the heart is such an impression of happiness and ecstasy, actually. That one shuns any sense of control and independence. When it arises, in wanting to be praised or wanting to manipulate or fostering some ambition or acting expedient in terms of my own desires. I was talking about the vision of someone who sees through the eyes of service. So that was really nice, and try to express these points, etc. But my favorite classes are on the Sangha somehow. They have that steady audience. Well, let's get back to where we are here in the so we're on the section in Narada Bhakti Sutras. Of where inferior grades of bhakti were discussed. And now this is the conclusion of the section where Narada is encouraging one to seek higher levels of bhakti. I always describe a progression. You know, when you get that sense, that bhakti, in your heart that I want to please God, and that becomes a strong voice in the heart. And when you are seeing through that consciousness, and when you act through that consciousness, then there's no need to worry about worldly duties. Because worldly duties are only meant to bring you to the platform of purity where you will have bhakti. That's the purpose of worldly duties. Tamashunishtitam punsa vivik sena katasi upadiye yadi ritim shrama evihi kevalam. If your duties are not leading to a vasudeva kata ritim, to a rati, to a bhava, to an attraction, to a love for God and the glorification of God, trauma, avi, kevalam, they're useless. And when they do, they are important. But everything in a devotee's life is secondary to love of Godhead. And you don't necessarily have to make that choice, I renounce my worldly duties, because that may be what you do in love of Godhead, in your stage to purify yourself. But you're not worried about them if they have to be forsaken in the name of service. You won't lose anything. You never lose anything. Because that's in the essence, that's the essence of worldly duties. But then it says don't artificially renounce. That's not also recommended. That's not what bhakti is about. That's the path of gyan. That's the path of vairagya. Bhakti is about dedicating oneself to God. So we don't have to give up things. Nor is it recommended to give up things that can be used in Krishna's service. But on this path, do not be negligent in the world in terms of your associations and the effect they can have on your heart to bring you away from reflection on the soul, reflection on the soul, on the nature of service. Be careful about desire for wealth, desire for the opposite sex. Be careful about antagonistic spiritual views. And especially be careful about pride. C.S. Lewis said, "We are never so proud as when we think we are good." It's the last stage of Anishtha Bhakti, that as you're performing devotional service, when bhakti comes from that devotional service, you may become proud. I am better than someone else. So this is the path. And we may have desires, we may have so many things, we're giving everything to Krishna. And then those things will also be used. Just like one young man came up to me yesterday with his mother, very high family, Indian family, very pious. And he said, you know, he was treated unfairly. He can't renounce it. He has to see that justice is served. What should he do? I said, well, the first thing is decide whether your path of action is the correct one or not. And if it's the correct one to seek justice, then seek justice. First of all, do what's right. Then you can concern yourself with the internal workings. So do what's right, and then deal with those feelings. And try to deal with those feelings. But first do what the right thing is. And if it's not right in this case to seek justice, then don't do it. Anyway, then there was a long discussion of karma. But the point here, then finally the point came, that give everything to Krishna. And then try to also dovetail the bad qualities also. And now we'll do in this verse, this is the concluding verse. One second, lost the place. Offering all one's activities to the Lord. One second. It says, after breaking through the aforementioned coverings of the three modes of nature, one should act only in pure love of Godhead, remaining perpetually in the mood of a servant serving his master, or a lover serving her beloved. So, breaking through the three modes. The three modes, you can look at it, the three modes correspond to desire not to surrender to Krishna. And there are shades of those desires, not to surrender to Krishna. And the shades of those desires, by our karma, when we have those desires, then the strands, subtle strands of matter, take various shapes that allow us to fulfill basically the desire for sleep or lethargy, the desire for intense activity, and the desire for clarity and peacefulness. And that's what the world is. It's just composed of the modes. And it's meant to purify one of the modes by allowing one to fulfill their desires in this world. But to fulfill them with the purpose of eventually giving them up. And that's what it's being described when you come to pure devotional service. When you come to pure devotional service, it means you don't have personal desire. That's what bhakti or love is. You're fully basking in your own glory as the part of God. The hand is basking in the glory that I am part of the body. And basking in the glory, it's perfectly in the service of the body. When we bask in our glory, we're of Krishna and we're for Krishna. And that's pure devotional service. Anya vila chita shunyam jnana karma jnavritam anukuyena Krishna nubhaktya bhasi uttama. Uttama bhasi, the topmost bhasi, has no selfish desires. Has absolutely no selfish desires. Chatur vidha bhajanti mam jana sukritano jana atarti jigyas. Four types of people. They're not even Kanishna. Because Kanishna means your objective is to please Krishna. It's just that your faith and knowledge is weak. And before Kanishna, one is performing devotional service with particular intentions in mind. I am performing devotional service to become free from distress. I am performing devotional service to get wealth and to satisfy my curiosity for knowledge. So Narada here is urging, come to real bhakti. And real bhakti is rag bhakti. Real bhakti is love. Vaidhi bhakti. In the real pure sense, we don't practice pure vaidhi bhakti. Pure vaidhi bhakti is your whole faith is in rules. My faith is in the completion of activities, not in the activities themselves. Completion of the activities to adhere to some stricture, adhere to some rule. I chant my rounds because if I complete the prescribed amount, I get benefit. Where the real bhakti is, you complete your rounds, but that's not your objective. Your objective is the moment. Your objective is to focus on the pleasure of Krishna, and that's in your consciousness. You're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, not to complete it, but as an offering of love and devotion. And everything you do is an offering of love and devotion. You look at your whole life as an offering of love and devotion. I know many devotees in line from Prabhupada, I know disciples, grand-disciples, but if they've gotten that bhakti lata bij, devotion, then they want their life to be an offering of love. And therefore they try to make what is your offering for Guru? What is your offering for Guru? Whatever we do best, we can offer with the most love. Our life should be an offering. So transcend devotion under the modes and manifest prema and love. Ultimately means in relationship. When your love matures, you love Krishna in relationship. Here it says, Nityakanta, Nityadasa, as in a servant, as a lover. You don't stop in following the rules. That's not what makes us a great devotee. What makes us a great devotee is our desire to please Krishna. Now, the desire to please Krishna may be we follow the rules and we complete a certain amount of rounds and we pay a certain amount of obeisances. Because we want to please Krishna, we do that. But the objective is pleasing Krishna. That's pure devotional service. It begins from that platform of transcendence of the ego and being situated in the real ego. Mukir, Hitva, Yata, Rupa. You give up the false conception, the false idea that I am independent and separate from God, and you adopt the sarupena vivastita, your real intrinsic form, swarup, your own nature. And our own nature is kivera supahoy krishnera nitya das, your eternally servants of Krishna. As a spiritual master, Narada has responsibly taught lower stages of bhakti and encouraged anyone, even with a drop of faith. Akama sarvakama va moksha kama udaradi vivrena bhakti yogena yajeta parashampra. Sakama, you have desires. Akama, you have no desires. Sarva karma, you have all desires. Akama, sarva karma, va karma, you desire liberation. Devaina performs bhakti. Whatever your desire is, Devaina bhakti, perform intense bhakti, and you'll achieve the perfection. But the perfection is that you'll lose your desire for material things. The Narada is reminding us of the goal, which is prema and prema alone. Prema pumartha mahat. That is the goal. And you can't have a practice unless you have an objective. The objective or practice is prema. His method is similar to Lord Krishna's in the Bhagavad Gita. The Lord mercifully encourages all kinds of karmis, gyanis, and yogis, advising them on how to progressively turn their attention towards him. But then he concludes, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. That's the ultimate religion. And every other type of activity or dharma is to get one to that point. But the ultimate point is to surrender to Krishna. And unless you surrender to Krishna, you're still under the modes. As long as there is a tinge of personal desire, then you will, by that desire, associate with the objects of the senses that correspond to the fulfillment of that desire within the modes of nature. The Maya of this world, the illusion of this world, the ropes that bind us to this world are simply following our desire not to be a devotee. When we want Ishad Ute Tasya Vyam Vitriya Nivashita Shat Ishad Ute Tasya Vivario Smati. Ishad Ute Tasya. When you don't want God, it means you don't want yourself, because what you are is a relationship to God. Nityo Nitya Nam Chaitanas Chaitano Nam Eko Bahunam Yovita. There's one Supreme Eternal, and He is fulfilling our desires. And if we don't want Him, and we therefore don't want ourselves, then we, our consciousness is reflected on a material body, which becomes the field of our activities to fulfill the desires that we want separate from God. So the illusion of the material world, the modes of nature, which are Daivi Esha Gunamayi, they're the divine energy of God, they're simply following our desire not to surrender. And as long as we don't want to be what we are, which is a devotee of Krishna, as long as we have that desire, then we'll be under the modes of nature, which gives us different flavors and conceptions of not being devotees of God. And if the cause of the material world and our entanglement in the material world is being independent from Krishna, not surrendering to Krishna, then the only way to get out of this material world is to surrender to Krishna. Because if you have that pure love of Krishna, then what is the question of God putting you under the modes of nature? That's not your desire to enjoy. So what's the question of God putting you in the illusion that you're separate from Him? Out of love, without seeking reward, a devoted servant tries to please his spiritual master, the wife or husband. We see the perfection of servitude in the spiritual world, in Krishna's servants like Ratta, Daruka, and Patri. And we see the perfection of a wife's devotion in the queens of Dwarka. In Lord Krishna, we find the perfect master and the perfect beloved. So his servants and wives are eternally liberated as Nitya Dad and Nitya Kanta. Following in the footsteps of such liberated beings, devotees in this world should strive to practice devotional service on the level of pure love. As stated in Chaitanya Manjusha, Prema Pumartha Mahan, love for Krishna is the supreme goal of life. And why is love for Krishna the supreme goal of life? Because it's our dharma. Our goal in life is to realize what we are. Because unless there is congruence between what we are and what we're doing, how can there be harmony and peace in the soul? And what we are is part of Krishna, and we're made for His service. Prema Pumartha Mahan. And the greatest value to understand that and to feel that. That's called Prayojana Tattva. Prayojana Tattva is what is the goal. Sambandha Tattva means what is the reality. Gaudiya Vaishnavism, reality is Krishna and Krishna's energies. What is the Abhidhaya Tattva? What is the means to realize it? It's bhakti. By devotion, we realize God. Because devotion means I want to see reality. You can't see reality unless you love reality. I want to love God. And when you have that mood, and God will tell you, then I will show you that there's nothing but me and my energies. You'll realize that there's nothing but Krishna and Krishna's energies. And then when you realize that, you will feel that. You will love that. And that's the goal of life. The goal of life is to see truth. And what is truth? Truth is that I'm part of God. Truth is that there's God. Truth is that I'm a part of God. Truth is that I'm meant to serve God. When you see that, because you want to see that, there's no modes. Modes are only in conjunction with not wanting to be what we are, which is a devotee of Krishna. Modes come only because I don't want to be a devotee of Krishna. Therefore, my consciousness has to be reflected in a world to suit those desires. It means a world in the shapes and forms and sounds and tastes and smells of various modes that by their association we can have the false conception and the false enjoyment that I am separate from God. But when one has bhakti, that expression in the heart that I want reality, then reality reciprocates and lets you... What is Maya? Maya is illusion, not this. There's Krishna, and you're not seeing Krishna. That's Maya. Prabhupada also said Maya is sense gratification because that's the consciousness behind it. I want to be the enjoyer and controller, and therefore Krishna covers us from who is. It's simple as that. We can't be the enjoyer and controller if we see reality, because the position is overwhelmingly taken. You can't be the enjoyer and controller in reality, because in reality we're part of God. God is the enjoyer and controller, and we are to be enjoyed by him. We are the part. We are the servant. And when you embrace that, by surrendering to Krishna, accepting Krishna's authority, then you actually see God. That's Prayojana Tattva. Prayojana Tattva means you see God. You not only see God, you feel God. And feeling God means prema. So the Prayojana Tattva is prema. When the absolute reality is revealed, you feel the absolute reality, which means you feel your relationship with the absolute reality. And therefore Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness means that one is thrilled at every moment. Because a Krishna conscious person is intensely seeing and feeling God. And he doesn't have that abhiman, that false conception. And he doesn't come to devotional service to fulfill desires personally. He comes to devotional service for love, to please God. So one transcends, and that's what this verse is talking about. When one actually has that bhakti, his vision changes. He begins to see reality. And what is reality? Krishna. That's why we do karma yoga. Because we're not seeing reality, because everything is Krishna, and we're seeing everything in relationship to ourselves and our own enjoyment. What karma yoga means is you take that object, which I'm appropriating for myself, and therefore not seeing it as part of God, you take that object and you offer it to God. And by offering the object to God, you begin to see that object as God. And that's what that thing is, and that's what everything is. Everything is God's energy. It's meant to be used in his service, and that's what a pure devotee is. He intensely sees it in that way. That's why Prabhupada is so bold. Because in his vision, the world was Krishna's. And therefore, it should be used for Krishna. So we perform Yuga Dharma. I was out there doing Kirtan. We chant Hare Krishna, we associate with the holy name, we try to feel the holy name, which means we feel our relationship with the holy name, which means we feel the nature of our soul's relationship to the holy name, and then we develop love. And love reorients ourselves. When you're in love, enter the world of your beloved. When you're in material consciousness, you want everyone to enter your world. And you see everything in terms of your own desires. So this shift of consciousness happens, where the devotee develops love for Krishna by associating with Krishna. And therefore he wants to serve Krishna. And as you develop that mood of service, you become transcendental to the modes. The modes only exist to fulfill our desire not to be a devotee. So now, this is the recommendation. Now, don't perform devotional service for any selfish reason. Do it as an offering to Krishna. Okay, are there any questions? I'm going to follow this format now. I'm just going to lecture on one verse. It's easier to do it that way. Anybody have any questions? Okay, someone like to say hello? Maybe people can't get on. One second. Anyone like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Gail, Hare Krishna, Grungi.
Yeah, I tried to unmute before, but the lines were still muted, so.
No, I realized that. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm saying hello again.
Hello, Gail. Again, thank you for that wonderful book, which we will discuss in depth.
Okay, that would be very nice for me. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Brajrani.
Brajrani, hey, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. I'm not sure when I'll be next in New Jersey, but when I will, we'll have to come over. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Govardhan Bhakta Das.
Jai Govardhan Bhakta. Okay. Must come over there. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that? Oh, Hillary.
This is Hillary. Thank you for class. It's Hillary.
Who is it?
Hillary.
Oh, Hillary. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Our tour, is really, I just got a list. We have about 28 people signed up so far, so it's going to be a really good group. That's not including the teachers, so really wonderful people. That's good. Okay.
I can't wait.
Okay, great. Okay. Thank you for coming on. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, well then now. Once you call for the Rupya Shark of the Sindhu Bhavichopati Kampam.